to her folly through mid on for four. Jeffrey Boycott, 100 hundredths, the place to get it here on his home ground at Headingley.
Got it! Got it! Well deserved, a magnificent delivery from Darren Goff.
Must be very close to five. Got in! What a patch this is for Ryan Sidebottom.
Welcome to the Covers Off podcast with me, Richard Pirate. It's an emotional one this week, I'm afraid. Today is Brez's last ever pod with us. Brez, announcement was last week. We had a beer, a social distancing beer over the weekend to celebrate your Yorkshire career, but it feels a little bit surreal now that you're coming on the podcast for the last time. How are you, mate? And how are things after the announcement?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. It's been quite emotional last week. Probably it got away from me a little bit in terms of, you know, I had a conversation with the club and then it was like, right, we agreed to just give it till Friday so I could get round the lads, get round everyone at the club and, you know, have that one-to-one chat with them, explain what it was I was thinking and this and other, wish them luck, all that sort of stuff. And then we found out Wednesday morning that there's been a leak and it's coming out 4 o'clock. So to get a bit of a wriggle on, really. So just disappointing that I missed a few of the boys that I wanted to speak to, but things like that can't be helped. But yeah, other than that, quite excited about the future.
Good. I know you are. I've spoken to you quite a bit about it and can see you've got the hunger in your eyes for it, which is good. But I think, you know, you've achieved a lot with Yorkshire, but the thing that stuck with me most is that the messages that have come in from the announcement, like from the players, from supporters. That must mean a lot to you, stuff like that.
Yeah, it has been quite emotional, to be fair.
You're not going to cry now, are you?
No, I'm not going to cry, Rich. It's funny, like, you don't understand how appreciated you are until you're not there anymore. And I suppose that's kind of how I feel right now, which is, you know, sad in a way. But that's just the same with everything in life, isn't it? Like, you know, you never missed until you're gone. So, and you know what? Hopefully, I don't want to. It's tough because I don't want to sound arrogant or anything like this. But I hope I'm really missed.
Well, you will be, mate. You will be. I've been in the last couple of days, and the place is different without you already. So there's a lot more food left over.
look at me. I know we're on video. I'm making a sign at Rich right now.
Well, we've got to have his banter, even though it's his last podcast and it's a bit emotional. We've got to still have his banter, haven't we?
Oh, too right, lad. Too right.
So that'll lead us on to introducing our next guest. We thought long and hard about it, and like I said, there were some big names rocking about, and there was only one person that you wanted, the Brez.
There was, to be fair, and everyone wanted it as well. To be fair.
Everyone wanted. So yeah. I'm gonna give his stats out, and then you can introduce him.
I like that.
So this lad, we've played together since we were 13, I think, all three of us. So it's a fitting end, is this? He's played 155 first-class games. He's got 409 first-class wickets and 572 wickets in total for the club. And I know he's a big stato, and he'd tell me if I was wrong on that, but I've just added them up. So over to you, Brez.
He's probably most proud of his dot ball percentage, his economy, and his maiden's column. His nicknames include Boring Pato, which is actually his Twitter handle. I don't know if it's his go-to social media platform, but here he is. It's the one we all wanted. It's the man himself, Mr. Paper Shins, Steve Patterson. So, how are you, Sally?
I'm good, lad. How are you?
Oh, dear. All right, mate.
That's a bit of a different story to what I heard. Rich told me today that you wanted Buffer real bad.
Cause, can you just move back a bit? Can you just move back a bit on video? Cheers. All I could see were your teeth.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I signed up to this. Cheers, boys.
The old side screen teeth.
Before all the gags get going, let's hear a bit about your cricketing story, Steve. You know, we've played together since we were 13. You've come from some random place out east. Hull, Beverley. You say Beverley because you try to be posh, don't you? But it's Hull.
Absolutely, great spot.
Just before we start, sorry, Steve. Like, that's got a hell of a lot of respect for you. Everyone knows this. I'm sorry.
This is what it's been like in dressing room for the last 10 years, so yeah. Nothing's changed, has it?
Exactly. We love each other, don't we?
Absolutely. I had a feeling this was coming because, as Rich told me today, he said, write a few stories about Bresdale since his last podcast, which I've done. So I feel like you're just going to get in there first, aren't you?
I've got that prerogative as host, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have heard it when we had Varney on. He literally got the first punches in, didn't he?
He basically said you best retiring soon, Brez.
Yeah, he put me down in round one. Of the banter boxing bout, he put me down in round one. I never really recovered, and he won on points. Let's just say that.
Right, come on, Steve. Give us a bit of your background, where you started, and how you came into playing for Yorkshire.
To be fair, it's pretty unremarkable the way I've kind of gone about my cricket.
That's a shock.
Yeah. Played my junior cricket in Hull. Spent a lot of time with my hero, Robbo, as you know well.
Yeah, the Yorkshire Glenn McGrath.
The ex-Yorkshire Sussex and Northants cricketer, Mark Robinson.
Yeah.
Who I obviously regard as the English version of Glenn McGrath. So I spent a lot of time with him. Played academy with you boys, as you know. I actually sent Brez a picture the other day of him and I. I think we were in Jersey, weren't we? Under 15s or under 16s?
Was it on email?
No, I sent it to you. I think you didn't recognise yourself because you obviously you looked a bit different back then, didn't you?
You have curly hair, did I?
No, you were just slim. But I played all the academy stuff with you boys, a bit of second team cricket, and then slowly came through. I started obviously a bit later than you boys in terms of professionally because I went to uni for a few years. Did a bit of extra study in there, and then started playing, and I guess the rest is history, I suppose.
Didn't you have a gap year as well?
No, I spent one winter when you were all training. You know, you're doing all the hill sprints and that.
Yeah.
I just went off to South America. You've seen the pictures, haven't you? I've shown you them before.
Yeah, we went to the Bolivian salt flats and stuff.
Photo, was that one of you in a Pringles can?
Climbing into it, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, climbing into a Pringles can.
Oh dear.
It's a treasured thing, that is.
That's a very inside joke, that is, listeners, because Steve Patterson, obviously we have an initiation ceremony on your first overseas tour, and Steve Patterson's, aka Macaroni Man, was a presentation of his travelling gap year on a slideshow. So you can imagine how well that went down.
It was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that because obviously Darren Goff, a very, very exceptional cricketer, experienced, seen a lot in his time. He did actually say to me afterwards when he was captain that was the greatest show he'd ever seen. So I didn't have much to take it on, but he was impressed.
Yeah. It can't be as good as Rashes and Adjis after she did it at the same time, didn't you? And then they were doing the miming.
Walking they were going opposite directions.
And David Wainwright.
Yeah.
in a threesome.
Doing the worst I've ever seen. One of the worst. So, Pato, I mean, I know you don't like talking about your own cricket, apart from your stats, but you must, you know, playing for Yorkshire all your career and now club captain, that must give you some pride.
Absolutely. I think on a slightly serious note, like as a young lad, when we were in the academy and second team cricket, you looked up at the first team squad and the lads playing. And never for a second did I think I'd end up playing regular first-team cricket for Yorkshire. It was like a who's who of bowlers with Goffey and Sidi and Hoggy. And obviously, Brez as a young lad, played all the time. All these, Chalky was still bowling. And you wondered if how on earth I'd ever get a game kind of in the first team. And 15, 17 years later now, I've been fortunate, won two championships back-to-back with some of my best mates and lads I've grown up with. I've been capped by the club and I've now had the opportunity to captain the club for a couple of years. To be honest, for a player of my ability, and I'm very proud of to be able to do that.
Definitely. You should be proud, mate. It's, you know, over 500 wickets for the club now, and you know every one of them, don't you?
No, I don't think I do anymore. I know most of them, probably Champo ones, but once caught on the boundary in T20, I won't remember.
No bother about T20 now, though, are you?
No, now I've retired, now I'm all right. to be honest, I've retired, so that Briscat smoke me out of the ground when I play against him next year.
A little insight there to Brezzy playing next year.
Yeah, maybe. That's not not allowed to be not allowed to be discussed on air, I'm afraid, Richard.
Sorry.
But yeah, I'm let's say I am not short of offers.
Oh, all right, big man. Right, Pato, we've played together since we were 13. It's Brez is leaving us. He's a good mate of ours. You must have a couple of stories about Brez from our time together.
Well, Rich, as you know from what we discussed before we came on air, we've got plenty to talk about, Brez, haven't we?
Yeah, we have actually.
You boys have had a little catch up before I logged in, yeah?
Well, you were just late coming, weren't you, sir?
Well, yeah, I said to you, let's make it 8 because you know I've got 3 kids.
Oh, you didn't tell me.
I did.
Anyway, I'll tell you what though, Rich, before obviously we talk about this, I think what you said just before about all the messages received and the reaction people had, I think even like the lads I've spoken to and just sitting at home, obviously, Brez, you rang me the other day and told me before it got announced officially. And I think for 3 or 4 days, it didn't really sink into me that it was actually going to happen. And obviously, it's a weird time with the lockdown and not being able to see each other. But I think somebody who played well before you and I did, Rich, in the first team, Brez, you got your first team cap on my championship debut, which shows how much cricket you've played. Because I've played a while and you were already capped by the time I started playing. It's an odd feeling, really, to think that I'll never play again with you. You obviously won't take the field again for Yorkshire. I'm pleased for you in a way, but also quite sad that you're not going to be there anymore.
Get the tissues, he's gone.
Sorry, I want to joke or anything. That's honestly how I felt for the last week or so. It's been an odd feeling, really, thinking about going back in the next couple of weeks and that somebody that you take for granted, really, that is going to be there with you alongside you in the dressing room, you've had the realisation that that's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, 100%, Pato. And I did say it's going to be an emotional pod and we've had his first tears on the Covers Off podcast.
But I'll tell you what, let's change those tears into smiles. We can talk a bit about Brez, can't we?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's give him a proper send-off.
I don't think we need to talk about Brez the player because I think his stats and his achievements speak for themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
Obviously, he's won the Ashes, I think, if you ask Brez 6 times. World T20, Big Bash, everything like that. But I think what we'll miss, Rich, is, if you would agree with me, is the Brez that we see in the dressing room.
I think you're coming together and gelling like hand into a glove. And I see a future Covers Off podcast host right there.
Well, if he got paid.
If he can sort his Zoom microphone out, because at the minute it sounds like he's in a public toilet. But
how's that? Is it any better?
Better.
Is it? Oh, there we go. We're laughing.
Right, sweet.
The Brezzy stories.
Yeah, well, I don't know where you want to start, Rich, really, because we've got plenty, haven't we?
Why don't we start with, before we get on to the tax man.
Have you two been in contact, obviously, before this? You're in cahoots, yeah.
No, just like 10 minutes before you came on. That was literally it.
I don't want to call BS on this, but I feel as though I'm getting a little bit stitched up here.
I tell you what, Rich. It's something that I thought about earlier when I thought I'm coming on. You're going to ask me, obviously, about Brez.
Hang on. I feel as though the sort of the quid pro quo, as it were, has sort of switched. It used to be me and you, Rich, against the guest, and now it's turned around a little bit.
Well, it's your last one, isn't it, Brez? But Pato's just got a couple of stories. Just let him do them, and then we'll get on to Pato.
Yeah.
So
he's a natural.
I was thinking about this earlier, Rich, and I think if somebody said to me, "How would you describe your relationship with Brez?" It's funny because I'd probably say of anybody in the side, anybody at the club, I'd probably trust him more than anybody. But at the same time, I don't believe a single word that he ever says, which is a funny one, isn't it? Because obviously he has got the nickname the tax man, and he does like to put a little bit of a spin on anything he says, but you trust him with your life, but then you don't believe half of what he says, do you?
No. That's at least 20% tax.
Before I mention a couple of my stories, Gail, I spoke to Gailey earlier and he wanted me to get into something that he thinks is hilarious, but you haven't given him the chance to say. And he said that when we were in Abu Dhabi the other year on pre-season, we're playing a T20 warm-up. And you bowled a couple of overs at the end and you got a bit of tap and you came off and he said, "What are you doing, Brez?" And he said, apparently you said to him, "How am I supposed to defend that? They're hitting me 365 degrees. And he wants you to explain where that came from.
No, that's Do you know what? That bloke's, he's come into a bit of banter, you know. He's come into a bit of criticism for being a bit of a tax man as well, you know. Sprinkle.
See?
I think it's more of a sprinkle when it comes to Gailey. It's like, you know, when you get an ice cream, you just have them sprinkles on top. That's his little bit. That's sort of 12.5%. It's like what tax used to be.
So, Brez, I've got one good example. It's not really a funny story, but it's a good example of you kind of putting your little bit of tax on something. And I guess I've thrown it back to you as host and see if you can explain where this comment came from.
You sound like a best man speech. Like, it's not flowing naturally. You sound like... I'm literally
Brez, stop interrupting
him. I'm just trying to put you off your flow here so you're not as funny as I am, but... You sound like best man speech is literally ensuing.
No, it's just off the top of my head, this. But you'll remember on that same Abu Dhabi trip, where obviously we're travelling through Dubai, and you're obviously in Dubai Marina, there's all the high-rise buildings, skyscrapers everywhere. And you came out on the bus, and you said, do you know, to all the lads, and there's a few lads could back me up here, you told me that 80% of the scaffolding in Dubai was bamboo.
Yeah.
So can you actually stand by that? 80% of the scaffolding they used to build the Burj Khalifa is made of bamboo. Is that correct?
I'm not sure they used any scaffolding to build that. I think they dropped it out of space.
One of my favourites has got to be my stag do, Steve. Have you got one from the stag?
Do you know what? You two just chat and I'll go get another beer.
Well, I think we need to give a bit of kind of a backstory to this, don't we, Rich?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're getting married just after the season. Brez and the lads can't be at the wedding because, I think, were they in Australia playing in the Ashes?
Yeah, Ashes Tour, yeah.
So, Brez, obviously, trying to look after the lads, felt that it would be a smart decision to go somewhere a little bit kind of out of the way, not a standard stag do hotspot. And he decided to take us to Kilkenny, didn't he?
Yeah.
But obviously, he promised a lot of things about this Kilkenny trip, didn't he? Firstly, yeah. He promised us, was it a chartered flight, didn't he? He said
there was 15 to 20 people on it, and... We couldn't get out there, so he chartered a flight, didn't he? He chartered his own flight for us to get to Kilkenny.
It was funny because he chartered our own flight, but he chartered it with Fly B, and there were 200 other people on it.
That's false.
It's not false. I've got enough.
No,
enough
it is. That is false, because what happened was the lady at multi-flight, she said, hang on, how many people are you taking? I said, there's 33. And she said, right, okay, that might work. If we can slot into your timeline a flight to Kilkenny, and then we'll put it onto the market. So at the moment in time, it's still viable for the airline.
Okay.
To take U33 return.
There was only 17 of us, but
no, there wasn't, Richard. You might have only seen 17 people while you were there.
Yeah, we did. There was nobody there.
But I think it kind of summed it up, didn't it, Rich? When we got off the plane.
Yeah.
And obviously, for those who know the geography. Yeah, Kilkenny's like Southern Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah.
And can you remember where Brez sent the minibus to?
Well, we got off the plane, didn't we? And Brez, you rung the driver to see where the coach was. And he said, I'm in car park D. And it was the smallest airport. There wasn't even a car park A. So we were looking for this car park D, weren't we? And then Brez said, oh, where, you know, whereabouts is it? Anyway, he said, oh, Dublin.
To be fair, this is one of those things where it was Jerry. You know, Jerry, the old bus driver, and I've still got his number now, and we talk regular, me and Jerry. And I said, Jerry, why did you go to Dublin? He goes, because, Brez, there's just simply no Flybe flights into Kilkenny on that day. Because we chartered a flight, he obviously thought we were going to Dublin. That's why.
You're digging even further now. But I'm glad Kilkenny were busy though. You know, there were those 50 Americans there in our hotel, weren't there?
Yeah.
Well, he promised that, Annie, was it 50 American air hostesses or something like that?
for who?
For the young lads on the trip. But I think, to be honest, if you think of how these last couple of months have been, do you know, obviously when we started lockdown, I feel we got accustomed to it on that stag do, because that two nights in Kilkenny was very similar to pretty much all of April, wasn't it? Where it was like an 8 p.m. curfew. There was nobody on the streets, nobody in public socialising. And I think we saw about 8 other people on the old trip, didn't we?
Yeah.
But was it a good stag do, Richard, honestly?
It was brilliant. It was, you know, I couldn't have asked for any more.
Look, life is what you make of it. The fun is who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, like we went to ladies' day at the races, didn't we? We all got suited and booted. And,
I think the only lady was there was the, what they call them, the filly that they put down.
Yeah. Oh, that was awful.
After the third fence on the back straight. That was the only way.
I think we got there. I reckon the best way to describe that, I don't know what you call it, was in a clubhouse. Or it was like a scout, wasn't it?
Yeah. But Adam Bryans, booked Adam Bryans, didn't I? He was amazing. The guy played piano, guitar, did the lot, sung. He was fantastic. And then,
my favourite part of that stag was when we obviously couldn't get on the coach from the airport. So we started walking, didn't we, to try and find a pub. And we walked for, 2-3 miles and found this pub, which were closed. So Brezzy's knocking on the door and this woman comes down in a dressing gown. And Brezzy says, look, I'm struggling here. How much money do you want to open up for us? And she opened up, didn't she? And we had the best couple of hours in that pub.
Yeah,
I don't know how much it cost you, Brez, but it was well worth it.
It cost me about 90 pints of Guinness.
But to be fair, Rich, that sums him up, doesn't it, Brez? Like, it might not always be the most organised, but he finds a way to make something happen and happen well. Like, in fairness, that's probably one of the best stag do's we've ever been on. Yeah. And there was absolutely zero organisation went into it.
I don't know what you mean. I had sleepless nights over those flights.
He's good at, as I say, he might not be the most organised, but he makes things happen. Like, if you remember that that trip at the end of 2015, when we just won that second championship, and you took us out to Benoist, didn't you, Brez? Like, the only person I know that's inducted themselves into the Chairman Hall of Fame, apparently.
Inducted myself?
Well, they wanted Chairman Hall of Fame until you made it up, was it?
I put it to a vote.
Actually,
my vice chairman put it to a vote, which was, who was it? Ben Code. Ben Code, he put it to a vote and he was like, lads, we've got to have a vote. You might not have remembered, you'd had your third, fourth Corona, probably.
For the week,
for the week. And that was you, but no, I got voted into the Chairman Hall of Fame.
To be fair, though, I'll give you credit, whenever you organise something, we have a good time, don't we?
It always comes off. It does. Right, Pato. Now we'll move on to you. Now, I've just got a couple of quotes from our time playing together over the years that I just want you to just explain, basically.
Oh, great.
So we, me, you, and Gailey played a couple of years for Driffield, didn't we? Dave Bias made us go and play out there because he was a good pitch. And I remember one game, you got out, you went up order, you batted five, didn't you? Try and get a bit of time.
Yeah, probably. I probably got some runs, didn't I? Yeah.
And you didn't get many runs, did you?
I can't remember.
We're all sat down in the dressing room and he's speaking to these young lads in Driffield dressing room and he said, I quote you, I only get runs on first class pitches.
True? Oh, love.
Did you say that?
I think there was some truth in that. It wasn't meant in an arrogant way. I think it just...
It sounds very arrogant the way that's come across.
Yeah, I think it probably does, but... I think probably what I'm trying to say is that I ain't really got much of a technique, so.
It was brilliant, anyway. Okay, my next quote was...
Yeah, go on.
Where was this played at? Anyway.
Tell me the quote and I'll tell you.
Well, we were playing away and we had to park his cars quite a long way from the dressing room. So we were in the dressing room, weren't we? And then Pato with his keys in his hand said, "Hey, young'un, go get me towel out my car," and throws him the keys. This is a Yorkshire player going to play.
Whoa, hang on, is that true?
Is that true?
No, that is false. Do you want me to explain that? We were playing away at Doncaster.
I'd stop there. That's pretty much unexplainable.
Well, no, it's not. It's not at all. So one of the young lads was going to his car and his car was next to my car. So I said, "Why are you going? Will you do me a favour? Get my towel out of the boot." I think that's pretty reasonable. It's very close. Different to the way you said it. I don't think you were even there that game, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fine. Okay, my last quote, and this is to our chief exec, Mark Arthur, I think.
Oh, no. What was said here?
I don't know what the conversation was or what it was about. It might have been, what your plans are after cricket. And you said, "Don't worry, Mark. One day I'll be chief exec of this club." Is that true?
It is actually true, but it was said in jest. Now, I think, because obviously I did maths at uni, I think the conversation was somewhat along the lines of Mark said, "Well, one day when you've finished, you could look to be financial director of the club," something like that. That could be a type of job you could go for. And I said, oh, don't worry about that, Mark. I'll just be chief exec. And it was meant in jest. It was never meant.
Are you trying to say, Steve, that you've got a better financial handle on the club than who's in possession of that financial handle right now?
No, not at all.
No, the look in your eye just suggested it. It is.
We're talking 20 years down the line, Brazil. But yeah, that was true, Rich, but it was said in jest, not in seriousness.
You don't get a nickname like the Mathlete, do you, without knowing your numbers?
No, exactly.
Or Carol Vorderman.
Well, it's only you that calls me that.
Now then, Steve, obviously covers off. We like to go through any sort of insider dressing room stories, pranks, you know, funny things that's happened. Basically, we're living in each other's pockets. Everyone knows this from now, if they've been listening. So, what have you got for us? I did tee you up with this on a text message. So, I
hope you
actually... I did, yeah. I said, like, get thinking of something.
I don't recall that.
I didn't want you to make it more. It wasn't the Gruffalo I was asking you to think about, was it?
To be fair, the vast majority of my stories relate to you, don't they? Because you're probably the funniest bloke in the dressing room. Like, unintentionally.
Story worthy.
Yeah. And I guess all the rest of them.
Am I unintentionally funny, though? Am I unintentionally funny, or am I just intentionally funny that it looks to be unintentional?
Well, I guess if people laugh at you, not with you, then it's unintentional, isn't it?
Maybe that's the.
Or maybe that's the intention. I don't know.
Correct, Steve. Penny's dropping here.
Yeah.
Definitely know that.
You put me under pressure. I don't really know the answer to it. To be fair, Livy is a great source of amusement, isn't it? It's difficult. I'm not a good storyteller, as you know. I'm probably about as interesting as, I don't know, watching paint dry. But I think my best stories come from Livy. I'll give you an example. Would you agree, Livy's not necessarily... He's cricket smart, but like common sense-wise, he's not up there with the best, is he?
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, trying to be polite. But we were flying to South Africa, British Airways, to go on Champions League. And you got to fill the landing card in when you get there, don't you? Do you know when you're on plane? And obviously it says destination, whatever, Johannesburg. It says flight number. And we flew British Airways. So it was like BA151 or something like that. But Budge doesn't understand that, does he? So we've flown on a jumbo. So where it said flight number, Ivy fills it and he puts 747 jumbo jet. And he thinks that's Hedson. And that kind of, it's not particularly funny, but it kind of sums up spending time with Ivy. And I remember we were in Barbados on pre-season and he'd spent, back then Lil was not, obviously his wife was still his girlfriend or fiance, I can't remember which, but they'd been together a long time. And he's trying to Skype her for about an hour. He's like, oh, this internet's rubbish. It's not working, whatever. I said, well, what's wrong? Because I've just scouted my missus and it's absolutely fine. And he goes, well, can you help me? I can't do it. So I look over there. He can't even spell a name. He'd been with us 7 years. Didn't know how to spell a surname, did he?
Oh, geez.
He's a comedy genius, is Livy. Without trying.
He's a very good source of amusement. I do remember when we were in... do you know what you said about when he got picked for England?
Mm.
And he said his wife's name wrong.
Yeah.
I remember a room with him. So we'd had a few beers that night, if you remember. It was your benefit dinner, wasn't it, Rich?
Yeah, my dinner, yeah.
So obviously we had a bit of a celebration for the, I think there was five or six lads went on that tour, didn't they?
Yeah.
And so I woke up a bit worse for wear the next morning, so we had a day off. And Lavi hands me his phone, he goes, can you reply to this email? And I was like, what is it? And it was his email from James Whittaker, telling him obviously he'd been selected, asking him to respond with various things. I said, well, what do you want about? You want me to reply? He goes, well, I can't write. He goes, I can't spell, you'll have to do it for me. Yeah, so I'm sending an email to the chairman of selectors pretending to be Adam Live because he didn't know how to construct an email and he didn't know his punctuation or how to spell. So I had to literally reply to him and said, thank you for the honour of play for
England. Oh, dear.
Bless him.
Wasn't Cookie was at that dinner as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He flew over for that dinner earlier.
Did he fly over or was he was part of the MCC game? What was
yeah, but we flew him over two days earlier just to do that dinner. And he, right. You know, legend of a bloke, he didn't have to do that for me. I don't really know him. And he flew over 2 days early just to speak at my dinner in Dubai. So just pretty much sums up what type of bloke it is, that, doesn't it? He's a legend.
Yeah. Top guy.
You normally nick him off for fun though, Steve, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I've managed to do it a couple of times, but maybe that's just a bit of luck.
I thought it was
you call him your bunny.
Yeah, round the wicket, nipping away, bowled off stump or nicked off. Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty much accurate. Yeah, but you know, sometimes these things just happen, doesn't it? Sometimes, you know what I mean?
It does. But I could quote you again on that, but you have called Alistair Cook your bunny.
I'm pretty sure I've never said that.
No, you have. But I've been in the room when you have said that.
Because
you usually take over. You know Alistair Cook? Yeah. So England's leading run scorer of all time. Sir Alistair Cook. He's my bunny. That's how you sell it.
Yeah. Well, if you said it, Riz, it's got to be true, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Pato, we're going to move on to the covers off quick fire questions now.
In fact, we start this, I'm sure he's been walking into bat. Like, we've been huddled up and he's going. In fact, it happened at Essex last year. Second dig, you're like, don't worry, lads, there's a bit of rabbit pie for lunch.
That is proper tax.
No, it's not. Anyway. That's what you said. Right. You said to the boys, don't worry, I'll get cookie. I'll have a bit of rabbit pie for lunch. That's what you said.
No, I'm pretty sure I never said that. 100%. Well, let's move on.
Right, Pato, covers off quick fire. Yes. First thing that comes into your head from these questions.
Okay.
All right. Earliest cricket memory.
Watching Yorkshire at Scarborough.
Good.
That's 7-year-old.
Was I playing?
No, I think Frog was playing, to be fair.
With white helmet on.
Probably, yeah. I reckon I've got his autograph somewhere.
I hope he was playing straight.
Side he must screen. Have been. Pow, pow.
Side screen, youngin. Pow.
Right.
Next one.
We've already heard about this one today, but cricketing hero.
Glenn McGrath. He was my hero growing up. Wanted to be Glenn McGrath.
You do bowl a bit like Glenn McGrath.
Well, he would probably argue that's wrong. But
professional debut.
Ooh, one day or championship.
Championship.
Scarborough 2006 against Warwickshire when Tim got capped.
Was that Gailey's debut as well?
No, it wasn't Gailey. It was Gailey's first 100 for Yorkshire.
That's right.
I think he got 149. It was Rash's debut as well. If you remember, Rash got three. We got three second team hundreds leading up to it, so they picked him as a batter. He got one. He got the last wicket in the first innings. They bowled him second dig, and he got six. And we won in 3 days, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that is right.
Since then, he hates batting.
I know.
I knocked top off, and I went off with a stress fracture and sat down.
You didn't play again that year, did you?
No, that's they broken me by then.
And I think you bowled about 900 overs by then. It was only May.
Yeah.
Right, best game ever played in?
As it's quickfire, I'll have to go Essex when we got bowled out for 50 and won the game.
Yeah, what a comeback that was.
I think we've had some memorable ones, haven't we? Like Scarborough last year when we won in the last over of the match, stuff like that. But I think that game, getting bowled out for 50 and still winning the game by about 100 runs or something was pretty special.
Yeah, and you got an England great out as well, didn't you? So makes it even more special.
Was it round the wicket and bowled off stump or nicked off?
No, it was actually bowled.
Was it nicked off in the first innings and bowled in the second innings?
No, I think Brooksy got him first innings.
All right, so you got him. That's the rabbit pile.
To be honest,
it was just four.
Oh, yeah, all right. To be honest, it's a memorable game for me because it happened to be my best ever figures I've had. So from a personal point of view, it was nice. But as a team, to get bowled out for that, and to still win. I think we had a 90-run deficit as well, didn't we, first innings? It was pretty incredible.
Brilliant game. Right, your favourite ground in the world to play at?
Ooh. If I had to go one, it's got to be Scarborough.
What about Newlands? You played at Newlands, didn't you? What happened at Newlands?
Was that the game I bowled a maiden at Tendulkar in that T20?
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Ah, it might be.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what. We played on that trip.
Literally, I just heard most of the subscribers facepalm, which is pretty much what I did.
I don't know what that means, but...
Well,
to be honest, no, Rich wanted to throw that in, didn't you? That was nothing to do with me.
But yeah.
I tell you what, Newlands was special playing there because obviously I've only been over there once. Beautiful ground. Lords is very special, isn't it? Because home of cricket and what it means. We lifted a championship there. That takes some beating. But I think for me, because my first memory of cricket was Scarborough. I made my debut at Scarborough. I just love it. Yeah. It just means a lot to me.
You got a lot of runs there, don't you, Steve? Scarborough?
No, not really, no.
No, you do.
Not as many as you.
Oh, mate, it wasn't a...
No. I don't get many runs anywhere, Tim. I could get a couple of 20s here and there. No,
yeah, but you only get runs on first-class pitches, so...
Oh, yeah.
Right, let's keep going with this. Let's keep going with this. So, somebody to bat for your life.
Oh, to bat for my life. You know what? You're going to be surprised by this, but I'd go with Rez. Because you know what? We got better batters at the club or whatever, but when it counted, he stood up, didn't he? Always stood up when it counted. When the team needed him, he's the man.
Yep. Like at Lords, that middle six game, going for the third.
That innings at Lords, never seen a better innings than that. I've seen some special ones, but that were good. That were very good.
Yeah, agreed. Right, Pato, who's the vainest cricketer you've come across?
Vainest?
Yeah.
Oof. Probably you, Rich, to be fair.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
You rub that stuff under your eyes, don't you, so you don't get wrinkles and all your moisturisers and little beard trimmers and all sorts. You've got more product than anybody I know.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious. You name somebody who does more. Other than probably Frog himself. I don't play with him, so.
Right, well, that's your opinion, Steve.
Oh, yep. My God.
Maybe you should borrow some of my answering stay at your office.
Oh, my God.
I need to.
That is one of your nicknames, isn't it? Ray Illing was skin.
Watch him. He hates it. Watch him. He'll go now. That'll be him. You've lost him.
Yeah, but
that's it. You've lost him now. Pato, you've lost him. I've, he will go now. This has touched a nerve. Two people have said it.
Oh, somebody else said it as well.
Two people said it's been a wrinkly goat and a fat Zimbabwean farmer. So what do they know?
Who know you very well, Richard.
Can I ask you one question, seeing as you've asked me loads?
Come on then.
If people ask you what your nickname is, you tell them it's Iceman, don't you? From Top Gun.
Yeah.
Be completely honest, who came up with that nickname?
There was a girl in Wakefield in 1998 who said that I looked like Val Kilmer and from Top Gun, so it stuck since then.
No. Who's it stuck with, though?
And
but nobody else calls you it other than you.
And under pressure, like Rose's game, needed six to win, just go out and bang it. Cool. Nice, man.
Okay.
Right, let's get back to the pod, Steve.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Best celebration or party after a game or series?
Series. Well, can we class after a game? Because we went the morning after the game at Headingley, we went to Manoos, didn't we, at the end of that 2015. Yep. I've never had a better party with the lads than that.
So that's after winning the 2015 championship.
Yeah. I think we finished on the Friday night and then we flew Saturday morning, didn't we?
That's right, yeah. The chairman's in the Hall of Fame for that.
Special party, that.
Can't remember who that was.
Three people, living or dead, to have dinner with.
Ooh. Choose anyone you want.
You want.
All right, Hannah Bresnan. three people. I'll tell you what I'd have. Right, I'd have a bit of a mixture. I'd love to have my granddad there because I'd love to spend some time with him as an adult. I'd love... From a sporting context, Tiger Woods. I bet he's got a story or two from his life. And it's a bit left field, but I'd have Barack Obama because I reckon he's one of the coolest blokes ever to have lived.
Yeah. I like it. I thought you were going to say Boris Johnson because you look alike, but...
He's better looking than me.
That's a good three.
What's his other lookalikes, Rich?
Claire
Balding.
I thought it was Matthew Waite.
You've got to do it now.
Sally Webster.
Rez, do you want to do the Pato nicknames now?
Yeah, okay. I've just fed you two there, by the way. They are bona fide Pato nicknames.
I've got my stopwatch and my pen ready.
Well, hang on, do you want to explain this to me? Because I've not listened to any of your podcasts.
Yeah, Rez is going to explain it now.
So, Stephen.
Yeah.
You should decimate this, being obviously called these names for a vast number of years. In fact, you were there when you were batting and we wrote them on the board at Scarborough. We filled two sides of a whiteboard while you were batting. Basically, because you were batting and we were going well, we just kept piling on with these nicknames. And we got to the magical number of 140-something of your nicknames.
140, well, that's tax, isn't it?
Well, what is it then? 137?
So have you spent your podcast basically just taking them out of me?
No, Richard. No.
No.
No?
Okay. It's a popular part of the podcast.
It's a popular part. Yeah, it is a very popular part of the pod.
So I've got
you've got as many of your own nicknames as you can name in 30 seconds, and the time starts. 3, 2, 1, go.
Right. Well, Pato, obviously. Dead Man. It's another one, isn't it? Deaders. Or some people call me Dead. And then there's the more obvious ones. Col. King of the Lads.
You don't have to explain them. You're just wasting time.
Oh, King of Corona.
No, that's not one either.
People's Champion. That one?
No, that's not one.
Is that come up now?
No, you got 5 seconds.
Hero of Men.
No.
I don't know. Is that not one of them?
Time up.
Have they not come up, those ones?
You got one.
I got 7, Pato.
No, you can't count King of the Lads.
Well, people do call him that. I've heard it.
Call?
All the young lads are trying to get into the team and they call him King of the Lads.
It stands for something different with the young lads. King of the Llamas.
Well, it's Cole. Giving you 7, Pato.
King of the Llamas. Oh, that's what they're calling him. King of the Llamas.
To be honest, I hate to think what lads have come up with as potential nicknames for me. What's
just the normal ones.
Who's winning?
Max. Anthony McGrath with 25.
Yeah, shocked me.
25.
Are you allowed to share any of them with me or not?
Well, you have to listen to the pod, won't you? Subscribe. Right. Subscribe and like.
Yeah, click subscribe.
You have to pay to listen to it.
No.
No, I might do that.
That's the most Pato song I've read.
Yeah, that is. It's one of your nicknames as well. What they call him? Money Sniffer, or what's his... remember when he spent all night sniffing round that he thought it was an Abu Dhabi shake? And it wasn't.
What are you talking about? Where was that?
Yeah, anyway.
Right.
I think people believe some of these things you say.
Mood Hoover, that's one. That's not been mentioned.
Fun
Sponge. Oh dear. Anyway,
I'm going to miss him.
You
right, Brizzy, I reckon it's your last pod. I think you should say your thank yous to Pato and say your thank yous and goodbyes from the pod. So I'm going to hand it over to you for the goodbyes.
Okay, mate. No worries. Bearing in mind, I've had 15 Estrella down. Obviously, I'd just like to thank my teammates, the club for an amazing 19 years, the members, supporters, anyone that's been well wishers over that period has been, you know, it's been greatly appreciated. I've had a blast. It's been, you know, massively integral to the growing of me as a person, as a man. I think it's made me a better human being playing for Yorkshire County Cricket Club. It's given me the confidence and belief in my ability to be able to represent my country and play at the highest level. And I can't thank them enough for that. To all the coaches, it's been thanks for your efforts, even though it's most of them probably falling on deaf ears. But no, it's been very emotional. It's been an emotional time for me the last couple of weeks. I'm really excited about the future, though. Really excited in the direction, the game as a whole, and everything that I've learned at Yorkshire can take me. And, you know, I'd just like to thank everyone again for being so supportive. And, you know, the amazing messages that I've had on social media, text and WhatsApps and social, you know, platforms has been just mind-blowing. And, yeah, very, very appreciated. So thanks very much for that. And keep listening to the pod. You probably won't because I'm not a part of it, obviously, but, you know, they're going to get a better replacement. Probably because it's got more listeners than Tuffers and Vaughan. They'll probably get someone a bit more professional. So it might even get a bit better. You never know. You know, things happen for a reason and sometimes just gets better. So, yeah, I'll leave you with that. Thanks very much. And this is me signing off. And please subscribe, follow, download, and thanks to Stephen Patterson. You've been absolutely amazing and an amazing butt of our jokes for the last 12 weeks of lockdown. So, hero without even realising it. So, thank you, mate. And I will miss you probably most of all out of everyone. Even though we have a banter warfare, you know I love you, mate.
Same here, lads. Same here. And you know what? I am going to miss you a lot. More than you probably realise. And whether you take it as me as captain, but really just me as a mate. you've done so much for us, for the club, for the team, for us as your teammates. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of it.
Brilliant. Let's end it on that. Cheers, guys, and we'll catch you next week.